like many times when you become famous and you go back home, you get a different perception than what Jesus gets here, don't you? I mean, you know the band 21 Pilots? They're playing here in Columbus on Friday, and isn't it the shot, I believe, like 20,000 people will be cheering for 21 Pilots. Or, you know, a couple weeks ago,
Jesus was viewed as just another
it appears that the people that Jesus grew up around, they don't think he's any big deal. And when he comes preaching with authority, they don't really believe in him. And so, even beyond that, it's not that they just kind of pat on the head, isn't that cute, the boys come back to his hometown. It says that they actually take offense at him. You look at verse 3, it says, and they took offense at him. The Greek word for that is scandalizato. Scandalizato, from which we get the word what? Scandal. They were scandalized by his teaching. Scandalized by Jesus. They took offense at him. Now, if you can imagine Jesus in person teaching, and having grown up around people, okay, and knowing that, them knowing him, and yet still, in spite of all of that happening, in spite of Jesus being there in the flesh, people taking offense at him, do you think it's possible that people might, 2,000 years later, continue to take offense at the things that we know to be true about God? And again, if you are just starting out, or still trying to determine what it is that you believe, or if you've been a Christian for a long time, you probably know the things that are still offensive to this day, aren't they? In every culture, in every time, there are certain aspects of what Christians believe that go right in line with the culture, and then everyone can say, yes, we love that. So today, for instance, the idea that we ought to be forgiven toward other people, that has a lot of traction in our culture. And that doesn't mean we don't struggle with it, but it means in general that that is not a view, a value that is rejected by most people in Western modern culture. The view that we ought to be compassionate toward others, or that we ought to be generous with what we have, those are ideas, whether or not people, you know, practice them is another issue, but generally speaking, those are all values that we affirm, probably because we are 2,000 years into Western culture really being built on the Judeo-Christian ethic. But then there are other things, aren't there? Aren't there other things that are deeply offensive to this day in our culture? Last night I initiated a wedding and a great situation with a man that I had not met and had met through a friend who was part of our church, and I had the privilege of counseling them
It's offensive, you know, a number of them.
of Satan. And they actually say, by the power of Beelzebub, Satan, he casts out demons. And so maybe Jesus is pulling back because he doesn't want that criticism. I don't know, but it's very clear that unbelief in their lives and in our lives is a role of what God does in our lives. You stepping out of faith, that gives God the opportunity to do amazing things. And that's precisely what happens next. I don't know, I don't think that the scholars know exactly whether these two little passages, 1 through 6 and 7 through 13, follow chronologically right after one another. They're almost like separate paragraphs, separate teaching. But it makes sense that Mark puts them there, whether it's chronological or not, because exactly the opposite is what happens. Jesus comes home, okay?
Not to his disciples.
do what he wants us to do, to go out into the world, this great love, this great joy that God has given us. That's what we, so the problem is not whether we did it right or did it wrong, or maybe we said something out. No. That's between them and God. I heard a pastor say this week, he said, it's not up to you to be awesome. God's awesome. It's just up to you to be obedient. Okay? You don't have to be awesome. You just have to be obedient. And the truth is that every single one of us is set out by faith. All of us are. Not just the disciples. We're all called to go. We're all called to love. We're all called to serve. We're all called to pray for people around us, to pray for our own kids, to make strides to raise our, if you have children, if you have grandchildren, to be an influence on them, for the gospel. You know, Pastor Mark mentioned the Boys and Girls Club, I think, was meeting tonight. If you have a son who's in 7th through 12th grade, come and check it out. Because it's made a huge impact on my life and my son. Or if you have a daughter who's in 6th grade or up through 12th grade, come and check it out. It's just a way that you can develop a deeper relationship. You just have to try. You know, it could be any number of little things, but trust me, believe me, every single one of us is called and sent out by faith. And if you go, I don't know that you're going to listen to what they did. All they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. You know what that is? It's just sharing the message of Jesus, that we aren't all okay. I'm okay, you're okay. We all are desperate to hear Jesus. He needs us, and he finds us, and he rescues us. And he cast out many demons and anointed with oil, and he was sick and healed. I don't know. I don't think I've ever cast out a demon. I don't think I have. And I don't know that you will. I don't know that we will heal people when we pray for them. But I know that we try. I don't know if that's ever happened. Like in my ministry, it may have, but I'm not sure. But we can pray. We are only